Welcome to It's a Small Business World podcast, where you'll get the buzz about small businesses all over the world.
We're your hosts, Casey and Jaime. We're both passionate advocates for small businesses, digital tech, and international trade.
I'm Casey Gundiam, and I'm the founder of B2B Match.
And I am Jaime Volta, a tech contributor to B2B Match.
It's a Small Business World is produced by B2BMatch.com, the international business matchmaking platform for and by small and medium businesses. How about you check us out today?
Hey, Casey, how are you doing?
Great. Hi, Jaime. Really good to see you again.
Cheers. So today we have on the show a founder of Rival, which is a marketing consultancy that builds challenger brands and strategies, which is quite interesting. He is based in London, UK, but he's from Boston originally. Eric Fulweiler. Welcome to It's a Small Business World, Eric.
Thank you so much for having me. It's cool. Good to see you again. I mean, we won't tell everybody how long we've known each other, Casey, because that would be both of us a little bit too much. But after we stop the recording, we can dig into that a little bit.
Absolutely. But that's the beauty of it is we've seen each other grow and we're in a good place. So actually, we should. That's a great testament of your progress as well in your journey. So I'm really, really happy to have you on our podcast.
Amazing. All right, let's get into it. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, so we were talking about, you know, the different journey that you have, because you have been working in different, very different, well, countries, obviously, and also very different companies and you know, kind of corporate, big corporate or smaller ones, and also in different areas and everything.
Yeah. So my background, just to kind of give you the quick story, I'm from Boston, like you mentioned, but I went to school in Montreal, in Quebec. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I kind of fell into marketing and entrepreneurship. I originally was in the nonprofit world and thought that's what I wanted to do, kind of working for charities or working for government. And then I ended up getting into the early days of Web 2.0 in New York City. I was at Forbes.com, which is where Casey and I met virtually mm-hmm. over Twitter in the very early days when Twitter was kind of, you know, there was a debate about whether or not social media was going to be a thing. And through that scene, I kind of got connected to a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk, who at the time was just a wine vlogger who was starting an agency that became VaynerMedia. And so I was an early employee there, joined when it was 15 people and helped to grow that business to about 350 before I left. And then I went and worked with a big agency up in Boston, came back to Vayner to open their London office, which is what moved me to that side of the pond. And then I spent a little bit of time as a CMO of a fintech in London. And then I started Rival with two co-founders who were at VaynerMedia with me late last year. So overall, it's kind of, I think I've always, the way that I describe it is I've always had an entrepreneurial strand of DNA. But I think if you play out my career 100 times over, I don't know, 50 of them end up with me actually starting a business. So it wasn't kind of an inevitable thing. And then the marketing side of it is interesting because, you know, it was never something that I was like, yeah, I want to be a marketer when I grow up. And even when I was kind of, you know, coming out of university and starting to get into the professional world, it wasn't really on my radar. But what I love about it, I'm sure that we'll get into this conversation today, is marketing is really a means to an end to build a business. And I think that's fascinating. I think that's the ultimate challenge. How do you get people to believe in something that's not there? How do you get them to part with their hard-earned money to choose you when there's probably many other, you know, options that they could go with? So that's kind of what I'm passionate about. And that's what we're trying to do now with Rival.
That's a really good point and a really good segue into one of the things I just want to go and dig right there. It's you on LinkedIn. I saw a video actually, I think it was early this morning. I was like, I have to ask you about your marketing pet peeves because you and I, we've had those conversations over Twitter a few times. And as practitioners, we've seen brands do the wrong thing over and over again. As you know, how do we, and I want to hear, like, what is it? Like, what do you tell us about it a little bit?
So just in terms of kind of what I see a lot of brands doing wrong when it comes to marketing.
Yeah. And what annoys you?
Well, yeah. I try to take a glass half full approach to most things, but there are some things that get to me as there are with anybody. So I think the video that you're referring to is I posted kind of some thoughts about, you know, what my biggest pet peeve is within the marketing industry. And that is what I call marketing for the sake of marketing. So marketing is a means to an end to grow a business. And there are so many people, you know, if you're not a marketer, you haven't worked in an ad agency, you haven't been a brand manager before, you probably have no idea that this even exists. There is so much of this industry that cares about marketing for the sake of marketing. They want to make something cool. They want to make something interesting. They want to win an award. They want to get a headline. I don't know. Maybe it's just because of my background and because I never studied marketing or never thought of it as a career. Marketing is to build businesses. It's to change perception and behavior to deliver some type of growth objective. Yes, a lot of that is profit and commercial growth. But I think particularly in today's day and age, you know, growth objectives are much broader and more multifaceted than that. So, you know, we work with big businesses that are kind of trying to think and act like challengers, but we also work with a lot of startups. And one of the things that I tell, you know, startup founders or small business owners, if they don't come from a marketing background, is, you know, you don't just do marketing for the sake of marketing. You need to actually work backwards from what's the business objective that you need to, that you're trying to solve for. So that's one of my biggest things and probably why I always felt like a little bit of an outsider, maybe an imposter in the 10 years that I spent in the agency world, because so much of that community cares about marketing for the sake of marketing. And, you know, that's great. They can do what they want, but that's certainly not for me. What I care about is how is it actually driving the growth of the business at the end of the day?
That's a really good point, because this is probably one of my biggest pet peeves as well, is when you get into a room and people think about the campaigns and they think about, you know, pitches and they think about stuff and you're like, yeah, but how does that move the needle, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And like you, I haven't studied marketing. I've studied business, international business. So, you know, that's actually a really good point that you're making, is it's almost like marketers need to rethink their profession from within.
I think that happens a little bit also in other professions, right? Like I come from engineering background and everything, and there's a lot also of technology for the sake of technology, or engineering for the sake of engineering, right? Because at the end, you get into this kind of situation where it's really what you like, right? Like you're in marketing or you're in technology or whatever, and really you like it, and you see the thing of that. And I think it's always important to, as you said, give a step backwards and say like, okay, well, I'm doing this, but what is the thing that I want to achieve, right?
Yeah.
That has any kind of impact or any kind of objective.
Yeah, and I think it's human nature at the end of the day. But I think if you're a senior marketer, or if you're a business owner that is hiring an agency or hiring a marketer, you need to keep people focused on what the objective is at the end of the day. So it all needs to kind of work backwards from, you know, I'm a big fan of the jobs to be done theory. If people haven't heard of that, they should. They should look it up. It's the whole, you know, people don't want a 6-inch drill. They want a 6-inch hole in the wall, which is so, you know, makes so much sense when you hear it, but actually so much of the world, and particularly in big businesses and big ad agencies, does not focus on that. It does not focus on, well, what's the job to be done? What is the outcome that we're actually looking to create? And then we actually figure out how to get there.
So, actually, I wanted to touch on a couple of things with you, including that view that you have of marketing that is not only corporate agency and then now doing your own thing, you know, with this consultancy that you have, but also different markets. You've done business in the US, in, you know, in London, in the UK, and potentially, I think, other countries. So tell us if you see any similarities, any differences, any opportunities as well.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I love most about my job, work I've done in the past, and then also work that we've done at Rival. So we're 12 people, so we're small, but we're fully remote. So we're London, New York centric, because that's where myself and my two co-founders are. But we've got someone in Spain, we've got someone in China, we've got someone in Oman, we've got clients in South Africa, in the Philippines, in Germany, in the UK, in the US, still working on Canada, but maybe we can talk about that. And you know, kind of like I was saying before, the thing that fascinates me is the people side of building a business. You know, how do you change perception and behavior? How do you get people to believe in a brand, something that doesn't exist, something that you're creating and you're saying it stands for something that's more than just the pair of shoes that you buy or the bottle of water that you pick up? I think that's fascinating. And there is no reality without your perception of reality, and your perception of reality is tremendously skewed by the culture and the community that you come from. So all of it has to do with kind of where people are in the world and what's going on in the world around them. And so, you know, when it comes to building a team, you know, there's kind of the cultural element of bringing people together from different parts of the world. And when it comes to working with clients and trying to build brands and businesses, that's the thing that's so fascinating to me. So I love it. I love the global nature of the work that we do, of my job right now. I love trying to understand people, get to know other communities and cultures. And yeah, I feel really lucky to be able to do that. Because, you know, if I was around 100 years ago, probably wouldn't be able to do as much of that.
And but one of the thing is also how, what similarities and differences you see with all those different ecosystems around the world in marketing, for example. Yeah.
So the ones that I can speak to the most are the, you know, the places that I've lived and spent most of my time. So we'll put Montreal and Quebec aside, but talking about the US.
I think there's a message there. Like, no, we'd love to work with you for sure.
But no, I mean, coming from the US to the UK, and if there are any other Americans that have gone in that direction or Brits that have come in this direction, you can probably relate to this. You know, I think that there's a reason that there's a lot of Americans that have ended up in London beyond just the language barrier. This, when I first moved over there, someone told me like, hey, the UK is like Europe light. So all of the stereotypes of Europe, we're talking about work culture and professional stereotypes about Europe, you have a lot of those in the UK, but it's kind of the lighter version of it, right? So yeah, people take long holidays, but it's not the month of July. You know, yeah, people kind of like start to dial down Friday afternoons, but it's not like at 1 o'clock. Yeah, people take lunch breaks. Because remember, like I came up in New York and working with Gary Vaynerchuk, and if people are familiar with him, he's not about the lunch break, I'll put it that way. And so that was an interesting kind of cultural adaptation and learning experience for me coming there. I remember sitting down, we had a head of delivery at VaynerMedia who was French, and he was trying to explain to me, he's like, yeah, you know, Friday afternoons I'd go to the pub with the team. I was like, but that's like work time. It's work time. Yeah, like that's when we work, right? Yeah. And it's interesting because yeah, it is exactly. And so it is work. It is work. It is the culture building. It is the team building. And it was a really interesting challenge and opportunity. And I learned a lot. And I think if I had to do it again, I'd probably do it a little bit better. You know, if you're taking a business overseas, or if you are a business that has people offices in different countries, you need to figure out how you take the core of what the business is, which likely comes from the HQ and the cultural alignment of whoever the founders are. But you need to adapt that to the culture that it's within. Otherwise, you get kind of like a, you know, organ rejection type thing where that culture is not going to accept who you are. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, what I was talking about before with the jobs to be done theory of how you build brands and how you sell, how you build businesses. And also on the people side, what it all comes down to is being customer centric, people centric, working backwards from an understanding of the audience or customer or talent or whoever the person is at the end of the road that you're trying to reach, and understanding what they care about, what moves them, to know how you can solve whatever the objective is that you're trying to accomplish. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing for me. And it's amazing. And I'm sure, you know, Casey, you see this in the work that you do as well, how much of it really comes down to that. And of course, the most important things are simple in theory and really hard in execution. And this is definitely one of them, but it really is just about being human centric at the end of the day.
And this is why, you know, when I hear you speak, and we haven't spoken in since COVID hit, but I know now why we've been friends for so long, because we really do align in so many things. And when I was at London Tech Week, I remember one person asking me that on stage, and I stopped and I said, you know what, it's about humanity. That's what it's about. It's if you take out everything and you just focus on what's important and what matters, it's about, you know, focusing on humanity. So one of the thing I want is, one of the reason we're chatting with entrepreneurs from around the world is also to give them a spotlight. So I want to know, how do people, like, are there any industries that you focus on at Rival? Any market that you said that you guys work worldwide, but is there anything that we can help you get close to, except for Canada, that we'll be working on actively? But is there any industry that you really want, you know, that you're interested in or you guys are focusing on that the listeners could potentially just, you know, connect with?
So you know, this probably won't surprise you after the rant that I just went on. It matters so much more who the person is and the culture of the company rather than the industry or the product or the budget for that matter. You know, it's fascinating for me, having spent so many years in services businesses and advertising agencies and consulting firms, how little focus gets put on the culture fit between the client and the service mm-hmm. provider. If you're going to hire someone for your team, yes, you'd want to make sure that they could do the job, that they fit within the salary band. But then you would make sure that they were a cultural add to the company and culture that you wanted to build. And I, you know, that's the approach that we take. So, you know, we don't pitch business, because also that's one of the things that I think is so broken about the agency world. But what we do is we spend time with potential clients to see if there's a culture fit. And of course, to see if we can do the job and if the budget and the timeline and all that stuff fits. But that's the thing that really matters most. So we are interested in finding ambitious partners that are building businesses with the vision of trying to disrupt the category that they're in, challenger brands. So that doesn't mean that you have to kind of, you know, disrupt the entire category. It could be that you want to carve out a niche. It could be that you want to do something a little bit different, that you want to create a new category. But we get brought in for businesses that are going through inflection points in their growth roadmap. We are not a status quo type of partner. We are, hey, you know, we're looking to launch a new product. Hey, we're looking to expand into a new market. We just raised a new round of funding. We think there's a big opportunity if we do this thing differently. And we're essentially trying to be like the McKinsey for CMOs, if you will. So, you know, myself, my two co-founders and the team we're building, like, we're senior experienced people. We are the SWAT team, not the general infantry. And we get brought in and have a lot of experience and expertise in how do you build brands that stand out? How do you go to market in a way that delivers the business results you're looking for? And most importantly, how do you build a culture and capabilities of a challenger within your marketing function, regardless of the size or age of your business?
That's cool. So basically, you know, that goes back to the human nature and to the human journey. I often say that entrepreneurship is not a business journey. It's a human journey.
Mm. It's about, yeah, I like that.
So, Jaime, do you have more questions? I, like, Eric and I, we could probably talk for like ages. So
I feel like we're just getting warmed up.
I see. No. And you know, so, I'm enjoying the conversation, right? Like,
so yeah, do you have questions for him that you're dying to ask?
Not dying, but you know, like, I think you know, just reflecting a little bit on the things that you're saying, right? Like, I think it's always important in any business, really. Like, there's always someone on the other hand, right, on the other side of the business, right? Like, customer or someone else. At the end, all what we do and what we work on, right, and normally what we are passionate about, there's always someone else on the other hand, right, on the other side of it. And is either someone that we are helping or something that, you know, we are fixing a problem for someone, not for something in abstract. Even things that are very, very mechanical. I don't know, if someone fixes a car, it's not the car really what they're fixing. They're fixing the ability of someone to use the car, right? And to get in transport and everything. And to me, at least, given that, you know, again, I come from an engineering background and everything, it's always important to remember that, right? Because sometimes you get a little bit lost into that kind of thing of, you know, the machine.
No, absolutely. So I know that, you know, to wrap up, I have another question for you, which is there anything we haven't touched on that you would like people who are listening to know about what you're doing, some of the projects that you're working on, anything that you feel is beneficial also, again, to for them to reach out to you?
I think maybe I'll just build on where we started with kind of the, I know it's maybe more of a cynical view of kind of the marketing for the sake of marketing. But I think the other way to think about that, that maybe would be helpful for people listening is, and I get this a lot talking to startup, you know, co-founders or leadership teams that don't come from a marketing background or small business owners that maybe wear the hat of CMO, but wouldn't call themselves a CMO. You know, a lot of marketing, when I say the word marketing, when people hear the term marketing, they often think of advertising, meaning they think of the communication that is getting pushed to the customer. The role of marketing is fundamentally so much more than that. It is to connect and build a bridge between the customer and the product. And so I really would encourage people to think more broadly about how they're thinking about the role of marketing within the business. It is not just about bringing the product to the customer. It's actually about bringing the customer to the product. And the best marketing functions, the best marketeers are the ones that actually make the business that they work for more customer-centric. So like I said before, all roads, at least with me, lead back to how can you be more customer centric? How can you be more focused on the audience you're trying to serve? How can you think and talk and deliver more for the human side of the business equation? So that's less of a pitch for us and more just me trying to say something that I hope people will find valuable. But it's really a lot of how we think about our work, as well as how do we build that bridge between the product and the customer you're trying to reach, which is really what marketing should be doing.
No, absolutely. And this brings me back to, let's go back to basic and what, let's go back to what business is really about and less about how to secure everybody's job at middle management. Quite frankly, this is pretty much one of the reasons I left corporate as well. I'll be making a lot of friends today. Eric, look, it's been amazing to chat with you. Please come back if you have anything that you'd like to talk about. This podcast is for and by entrepreneurs, so I'm looking forward to welcoming you again.
And where people can find you?
Yeah, so we are wearerival.com. And then I am Eric Fulweiler on LinkedIn, mostly, also on Twitter. And then you can reach me directly at Eric, so that's E-R-I-C, at wearerival.com. And okay, Casey has all my contact details, so she can put
that in the show notes anyway, to be sure that they're handy.
And we're opening the door to Canada, finally.
Let's do it.
Welcoming you back. Exactly. Yeah. Let's chat offline. But yeah, it was a pleasure to welcome you. And thank you so much for the time and your wisdom. And Jaime and I are very happy about having you.
I appreciate it. And it's so good to see B2B Match doing so well. So that's amazing. Congrats.